Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So last week we started our Choices sermon series, and last week we looked at choosing faith over fear. And we looked at Daniel and we said that we've all, like Daniel, got lions in our life. But the good news is that God shuts the mouths of those lions and they cannot harm us. And so we had a lot of fun with that last week. This week we're looking at a choice to either worship or worry. We said that on average you make 35,000 choices a day. One of those choices, sometimes multiple times a day, is to choose to worship our God or to worry. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 22 today. If you're in one of the Emmanuel Bibles, you can find that on page 15. If you're in your own Bible or if you're on the app, the scripture will be in Genesis 22 for you. And hear the story of Abraham and Isaac. Chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took his two young men with him. And his son Isaac, he cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. But Isaac said to his father Abraham, father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had showed him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hands on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on this mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Worry. Worry is defined as a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or even potential problems. When in verb form, it says to give way to anxiety or unease, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulties or troubles. Worship is defined as the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. And then I found this quote this week, that true worship is valuing or treasuring God above all things. See, sometimes I think we have a pretty good understanding of worry, don't we? We know what it's like to worry. I think we struggle more with what it actually means to worship. We think, well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to go to worship. Well, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus even clearly says that the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship. So worship is more than what we come and what we do. It's actually the state of our heart. It's the condition of our heart and how we view our relationship with God. I want to ask you a couple things. I want you to think about, would people define you as a person of worry or a person of worship? That's something that I've struggled with for a lot of my life. And I know that some of you have more years than me. And I'm just telling you transparently, it's something I struggle with. Worry is something that has really eaten me alive at parts in my life. But I want you to think about the person in your life who best resembles a heart of worship. Think back to whoever that may be for you. One of those individuals for me, I had many, I still have many, but one of them we laid to rest this week. My Aunt Neat. She was my great aunt, actually, but she was really like a third grandmother. And like my other two grandmothers, it did not matter what was going on in her life. Nothing seemed to bother her. Ever. One of those people that was always so joyful, it almost bothered you to be around them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, it's not that you don't appreciate that they're doing good. It just makes you feel bad about doing bad. But they care way more about you and your circumstances than they do themselves. And everything, good or bad, came in second place to where her heart was with God. So our scripture today actually brings us to a very pivotal point in Abraham's life. It's actually a very pivotal point in the Old Testament scriptures. God has promised that Abraham's offspring, he said, would rival that of the number of stars in the sky. And Abraham messes up along the way. If you have read through Genesis before, you know Abraham makes some silly decisions, trying to take matters into his own hands, and has a son with a slave and instead of his wife Sarah like he was promised. But at 100 years of age, he gets his son and he names him Isaac, his legitimate son, and names him Isaac. 100. I don't want to do this again after 33. 100. I think Sarah was like 90. Bless her, right. And he did. I mean, he did, pun intended. But now, after all this time, God has said, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. The same son that I told you I would give you generation after generation and nation after nation. That same son I promised you was going to come. Sacrifice him to me. I can't imagine how hard that is, but we see that on the third day, Abraham wakes up. He doesn't wait all day, and he tells the men to stay, and he begins the journey to sacrifice his son. Can anybody agree with me that now is a fair time to start worrying? Right? Amen? Like, God, like, I want to love you, and I really want to trust you, but I'm actually walking to do this? But Abraham does it. And I think one of the most powerful lines of this scripture says, he told them, the boy and I will go over there. We're going to go. We will worship. And then we, plural, will come back to you. See, Abraham knew this. And there's a difference of kind of opinions here, and it really is irrelevant. But Abraham knew that either God would provide the sacrifice, which is what happens, or Isaac would be dead and God would raise him from the dead and bring him back to life, and they would return together. Because he knew this. He knew that God made a covenant to him. A covenant is so much greater than a promise. Don't y'all love how kids remember what you promise? I promise, buddy. Well, not right now. It's nap time. But we'll do that later. As soon as you wake up, you promised me we could go outside and ride bikes. But a covenant is something so much greater. And God made a covenant with him. And so he says, I have to trust God. That one way or another, my son Isaac is going to do what God said he was going to do. And so in Abraham's mind, there's no reason to worry, because he knows that God has been faithful. And he knows that he will remain true to his covenant promise. So Abraham begins this journey. No worry, doesn't seem. But I think one of the biggest reasons that Abraham's not worrying is because there's no room in his heart for worry. You see, when worship grows in our heart, it doesn't make room. It kicks out worry and doubt and fear. Because when we begin to see God as he truly is, and we know that he promised to never leave us or forsake us, he promised the Holy Spirit would be with us always, he promised that no matter what you're going through in life, that nothing can hurt you or harm you, because Jesus Christ has defeated all things in this world, all the evil. He says there's nothing high enough, there's nothing deep enough, there's no good, there's no bad, there's no angel, there's no demon that can hurt you because of Christ. I want you to think back to that person you thought about that really truly resembled worship. It's probably safe to say they had a strong relationship with God, didn't they? It's probably safe to say that their relationship with God also stemmed from years of experience that God stayed faithful to his promises. Most of the time, it's not a young person who just has this great heart of worship. Man, I'm going to tell on us, but most of the time it's a grandmother. Or it's an aunt. Somebody who, no matter what happened in life, they didn't waver from their prayer life. That when life got hard, they fell on their knees and they stayed there and the tears came, but their heart remained worshipful of God. I think Abraham had every right to worship. He had all the proof in the world. But if I'm Abraham, I'm going to worry. I mean, y'all do too. Y'all worry about your kids and grandkids and nieces and nephews. But what if we begin to teach them that no matter what they go through in life, they should follow our example of worship? There was a time in my life, and one of the songs, I think Casting Crowns sang the song, I don't remember, but it was called Praise You in This Storm. Well, the whole song was about worshiping God in the midst of trouble, and I loved it. And I sang it as loud as I could, and to the point where other cars almost ran off the road to get away from me. But you know what started happening in my life about that same time? It started storming. You know what I started doing? I started worrying. And slowly what happened is the worry grew so big in my heart, there was no room for worship. You ever been there? I'm not proud to stand here and tell you that's where I was, but that's where I was. My worry had grown so strong, I ceased to worship. I went to church, but I wasn't worshiping. I hope that we start to learn there's truly a difference. I read this week that, I thought this was pretty funny. How many of you are waiting on God to open a door for you? Just me. The rest of you good in life. You don't need God to do nothing for you. Shame on y'all. We're talking about pride next week. But it said this, if you're waiting on God to open a door, just praise him in the hallway. Because maybe he's already closed one door and you're stuck and you're staring at the other door and it won't open. Well, just lift your hands and worship in the hallway. Because in the right time, he'll open the door that needs to be open. Sometimes it's when we're waiting for God to move that we need to remember to worship. So I want you to think that every time you begin to worry, every time you begin to think it's not going to work out, what if you just stopped and worshiped? And I know that sounds weird, but that could be a prayer, that could be reciting one little phrase of scripture, even if you paraphrase it. I don't think God cares as long as it's helping you be more like him. What if it just meant saying, God, right now my heart is broken, I'm devastated, but you're still a good father. Sometimes just acknowledging that God is good is worship enough to get us over the worry that is threatening to consume us. I think that's where Abraham was. He knew that even though it didn't make any sense what he was being asked to do. And see, we treat this like they're not in here. I'm looking for them. We treat this like Isaac's Anna Claire, like a baby. He's a toddler. I mean, he's at least a toddler. Most people say he's got to be over 5 to 8 because, I mean, he wouldn't have known about the worship practices if he was that young. Some people will say he could be as old as 10 or 12 because he knew this is what the wood's for. He's smart enough to say, hey, Pop, I got the wood and I see the knife and the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham just says, God will provide it. But what he really means is, son, it's you. And then it says he ties him up. So could you imagine me trying to tie Logan to a pile of wood? And this man's over 100 at this point. He's no spring chicken. But he knows it doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to stay true because I trust God that much. We read the rest of the story. The ram's stuck in the thicket in the briars. If you've ever been hunting, you know animals don't just get stuck in briars. You spend all day looking for one, and here Abraham's got one and it's just stuck. It can't go anywhere. And they do exactly what he said. They worship. He provides the offering and the sacrifice. And then both of them return to the men that are waiting. And then we see it as chapter 22 continues, God says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this, talking about Abraham, you have not withheld your son, your only son, many generations later. God did what he asked Abraham to do. He gave his only son as the final, perfect, spotless Lamb of God that would ever be needed. And that blood that he shed covers all our sins and provides us the opportunity to live eternally with God. See, God's not going to, we will never experience something God's not already been through. That's why Jesus had to be fully divine but fully human so he could understand our suffering. He provides a way out for Isaac. He provides a way out for Jesus. Because 3 days after he was dead, he came back to life. And then he promises, my disciples, my children, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, my Holy Spirit will be with you always. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus spent some time talking about worrying because I think he knew how important it was. And I just want to take just a moment to... And this is Jesus talking. It's fine. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more worthy than they? And he goes on and he just continues to teach about that. And then he concludes by saying, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. But right before that, he tells us how we defeat worry. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. He's saying, just seek God. Just worship. Just stay in His presence. And that will take care of the worry. It's not even a song. It's more like a repetitive chorus. But it's called Surrounded. And then I think the secondary title must be Fight My Battles. And basically what it says is, it may look like I'm surrounded. It may look like evil has won. It may look like the enemy is here. It may look like worry is going to win. But I'm surrounded by You. So yeah, I got all these things to worry about. But something surrounding all that is far greater. I love in Isaiah where we see that if you're experiencing a spirit of heaviness, a burden, it says put on the garment of praise. So this week you know that something's going to happen to make you worry, don't you? You know that's how the enemy works. You don't come to church and get inspired and then the enemy just say, well, I'm going to let you be. Nothing perfect week coming up. But you can choose to worship because your God is far greater. And that's our prayer. That's our prayer that as we make these 35,000 choices a day, these 12 million choices a year, that each and every time we will choose worship over worry. And I'm not going to make my wife get up again because I may have gotten in trouble last week. Maybe I didn't. But we do have the sign up here for you. And I can't tell you how cool it was to see these pictures all over the internet. I actually had people that don't even attend our church talking about this. Y'all look like y'all having fun. Well, you ought to come see for yourself. It's evangelism. Look at it. Right? It's perfect. Almost like it was planned that way, Haley. But I do challenge you. Make a commitment as a family. Love each other. Support each other. And let's choose worship over worry. Amen? Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com. Or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.